Cambridge 105 Radio.
Before I cycled around the world, a chap asked me, I was speaking at a scout event, and he asked me if I would row a boat with him across the Indian Ocean.
Right.
And I said, I think it sounds like an amazing idea, but I'm a little bit busy at the moment. I'm about to cycle around the world. And it's quite interesting because he just quietly took himself off and said, okay, but you're happy to do it with me when you get back. And I said, well, it sounds pretty awesome. And so this guy just took himself off and he started to display the actions of someone that wanted something. You know, he wasn't just talking about it, he was doing it. He was training, learning how to row, although that's the easiest part of it. He started putting a sponsorship proposal together. He was proactively doing all that he could to try and make this happen. And of course that got my attention, because at this point quite a lot of people were coming to me saying, I want to do this, I want to do that. Very common question is, how do you afford to do this? And then you have to explain that you get sponsorship, you know. You know, I'm not a multimillionaire.
No.
But where there's a will, there's a way. And most people you don't hear back from, if I'm honest. But Ash was different. I then realised he had quite an interesting story. He had Hodgkin's lymphoma, a type of cancer, when he was 19. He almost died. It was his third round of chemo that saved him. And he had epilepsy ever since he was a young boy. And he just wanted to prove that, you know, you can do things if you have the right mindset and you really want something. You know, if you really want something, you'll probably be able to get it at some point if you don't stop. And it just felt right. And so we got sponsored, and we were a fair way out in the Indian Ocean, and we got caught in some quite rough, well, very rough weather, actually. We had sort of wind speeds of sort of 80 mile an hour. And when you're in a tiny little ocean rowing boat, so sort of picture this in your head, it's sort of the length of a family estate car, then you're safe in the boat. But, you know, when you're out in an ocean and you've got serious wind speeds of sort of 70, 80 mile an hour, you know, that's a very serious situation to be in. The sea is very dangerous. Ash sustained quite a bad head injury where our boat rolled over and we had to be rescued. And actually, that was probably the most dangerous situation I've ever been in my life, because we were too far out for a helicopter rescue or anything like that. So the only thing that could come to our aid was a 100,000-ton crude oil tanker. And it's quite interesting what happened off the back of that. I came back to the UK feeling quite down and depressed. I thought I'd let everyone down. And something happened that I didn't expect to happen. Actually, we all these different opportunities came off the back of it, and we ended up raising quite a bit for charity and stuff. And every grey cloud has a silver lining, and whenever something doesn't go your way, there'll inevitably be always something good that comes off the back of it. You just won't see it at the time.
I want to talk a little bit about your new book and just pick up on a couple of things you said about that moment in the Indian Ocean. But let's pause for some music. What would you like me to play for you?
So anything from The Verve, I think, will be a good choice.
Lucky Man by The Verve. And that could describe our guest, the man who chose it, Captain Ketch, James Ketchell, an adventurer. A man who's been all over the world on all kinds of adventures. He's been to the top of the world, he's climbed Everest. James, you were just talking there, and I'm just going to take you back for a second, if you don't mind, to that moment in the Indian Ocean. Two of you were in this boat, you hit some very rough weather. How long did that episode go on for, from the point at which you realised you were in difficulty, that you had a problem, till the point at which you got rescued? How long did that take?
Probably about 24 hours, actually.
Wow.
So in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't too bad. It's funny, because it happened very quickly, but then when I think back, it was like it was in slow motion, which sounds like I'm slightly contradicting myself here. But what happens is, when you find yourself in a sort of a life or death situation, your senses all of a sudden heightened, and that gives you this impression that it's all sort of happening in slow motion. But it happened very, very quickly. But when a wave, you know, the size of a 2 or 3 story house hits you, you know, hits your boat, and your boat's only 20 feet long, it's tiny. It's very strong, though. The force and the ferocity that it hits the boat with, you'll never forget what that feels like and sounds like. You're kind of half expecting the boat to just crumple in, and that's it. It doesn't. And, you know, all of a sudden it will go dark for a split second as you sort of roll over. Now, the boat's designed to self-right, so it'll always come up. They're very safe things to be in. But then, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you see Ash, who's clearly sustained an injury, and you start thinking, well, okay, what do we do now? You know, it's quite a dangerous place to be when something doesn't go, you know, when you have a problem. And you know, I was the guy with the experience, so you know, ultimately I'm responsible for looking after another human being, although he was very capable. And then you very quickly have to try to calmly analyze the situation you're in, and with the information that you have and the situation you're in, you just have to make the best decision that you think is the best and the right decision to make at the time. And at the time, I had to just prioritize safety because we were in quite a dangerous situation. The storm that had caused these problems and these basically this huge swell was only just starting. But actually, the most dangerous part was the rescue, because I don't have an engine on a rowing boat. You know, you can only row it. So we were powerless, basically. So we were unable to bring our little boat up against the side of this tanker that was going to rescue us. But you have to remember that this tanker, this vessel that's coming to pick us up is like, it's 250 meters long.
Yeah.
And it's like 70 feet just to climb up to the deck. And at 100,000 tons, this is, you know, a pretty big piece of machinery that's coming towards you. And the captain actually had to bring that up against the side of us. And that was, the skill was just something I'll never forget. And then we had to get our boat attached to the vessel. So the crew on, you know, the deckhands on the deck were throwing ropes down to us. But actually, where we were sort of 70 feet below them, these items that they were throwing down, these heavy ropes, were like missiles. And actually, if they had hit us, it would have really, damn it, it would have been very dangerous. And so I had to tell them to stop throwing stuff down. I managed to get a slightly smaller rope attached to our boat, which brought us up alongside. But then what was happening is the swell was smashing us up against the side of the vessel. And I just can't tell you how dangerous that was. But it's not that at the time you're extremely focused and you're concentrating. It's not until after you think, oh my goodness, that, you know, if we had fallen off the boat, or we would have fallen in between the two boats, you'd have been crushed to death. They couldn't believe, they were excited to see us. It was like, probably like the highlight of their maritime career, rescuing two adventurers in the Indian Ocean.
Captain Ketch, we salute you. I look forward to welcoming you back onto the show to talk about more of your adventures, and thank you very much indeed for coming on.
Well, I'm very grateful for your time. Thank you for having me.